Good morning, everybody. Thank you for being here today. It's March 3rd, 9 a.m. We got it? Okay. Thank everyone for being here today. It's 9 a.m., March 3rd. I'd like to call this meeting to order. We're going to start off with everyone standing for the pledge, and then once we finish the pledge, if everyone could remain standing, and we have Pastor Richard Hanshew from Sunshine Community Church who will do our invocation.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come here today for the meeting of the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors. Father, I thank you for their passion, love, and service to our great county. I pray blessing upon them and their families. Give them wisdom as they look to the welfare, wellness, and needs of the citizens of this county. Father, James Monroe said before any man can be considered as a member of civil society, he must be considered as a subject of the governor of the universe. And to the same divine author of every good and perfect gift, we are indebted for all the privileges and advantages, religious as well as civil, which are so richly enjoyed in this favored land. Help us to consider each other. Bless our armed forces, our president, governor, our federal and state congresses, and all the citizens of Stanislaus County, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Hanshew. Okay, I'm going to start off with public comment here. This is a time when anything that's not on the agenda, if you'd like to address the board, and we have five minutes to talk. We will start today with John Mataka. Hi, John.
Good morning. My name is John X. Mataka, and I'm the president of the Grayson Neighborhood Council. On November the 25th of 2014, I presented a letter from our organization formally requesting an investigation by the Board of Supervisors into the two missing M16 rifles from the Stanislaus County Sheriff's Department. In the letter, I requested a written response within 30 days. To this date, I have received no written documentation as I had requested and no communication whatsoever. As a citizen of Stanislaus County, this is unacceptable to get no response, period, on such an important issue. Due to this board's total disregard to my request on January 29th, 2015, I filed a formal complaint with the Office of the Attorney General in Sacramento. If they do not respond, as you did not respond, I will file a complaint with the Attorney General's office in Washington, D.C. Someone will answer to where these weapons have disappeared to. In my complaint to the Attorney General's office in Sacramento, I explained that since I wrote this board the letter requesting an investigation into the two missing M16 weapons, that I had found out that 11 9 Magnum Glock pistols were also missing from the Sheriff's Department in Stanislaus County. On February the 10th, 2015, I spoke at public comment before the California Legislature at the informal hearing of the Law Enforcement and Community Trust in California. This hearing was co-chaired by the Honorable Lonnie Hancock, Chair of the Senate Public Safety Committee, and the Honorable Bill Quirk, Chair of the Assembly Public Safety Committee. Previously, Sheriff Adam Christensen had spoken on a panel entitled Building Trust and Confidence Between Law Enforcement and Communities They Serve, Promising Practices and Unresolved Challenges. Sheriff Christensen let the committee know that things are going so well here in Stanislaus County that, quote, the president of the NAACP has his cell phone number. I let this committee know of my complaint to this board and my complaint to the Attorney General's office in Sacramento. I let them know that things are not okay in Stanislaus County and that two missing M16 rifles and 11 missing 9 Magnum Glock pistols was the reason why things are not okay. In closing, it appears that this board is either hiding information from the public concerning these missing weapons or is covering up for the Stanislaus County Sheriff's Department. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, John. Okay. Next up, Rick Ferroni.
Morning, my name's Rick Ferroni. This is my nightmare on Elm Street issue. On December 9th, 2014, I took a property back by foreclosure at 4430 Elm Street in Salida. I proceeded to the property and I drove down Elm Street and I was appalled by what exists on Elm Street in Salida. It looked like a landfill. Junk, garbage, cars, people living in dilapidated housing, RVs. There was one out on the street that had been there for months with the raw sewage running out on the street. I filed a complaint on 12-12, and I was assigned a number, and I was told that everything was going to be just really hunky-dory. On 12-18, I received an email back stating that my complaint had been closed because of a previous complaint, and on December 25th, I received another email asking me to do a evaluation. Well, on January 22nd, I met with the Sheriff's Department to do an unlawful detainer because, of course, these people don't move out. They, you know, have to stay there till the end. And this, if you look behind you, this is what across the street looks like from 4430 Elm Street. Can we see the pictures of next door? That's what's next door. There's a homeless person living in the right-of-way of the railroad behind this place. I don't know where his sanitary facilities are. But anyway, nothing's happening over there, folks. I've tried contacting code enforcement. I've called Mr. Risen's office and requested that he return my phone call. I haven't heard from anything. And we're into this about 90 days. And I could read you emails and texts that I get back from people stating that my property is extremely overpriced at $80,000 and that they don't want to live in a dump. What do I need to do? Who do I need to talk to? How do I get this situation cleaned up? I would guarantee you within a 300-foot radius of that address, there are over 50 code violations, at least. Junk, garbage, abandoned vehicles, unbelievable, unbelievable. If the Gear Road dump was open, it would look better than this neighborhood. This is a public comment, and nobody can say anything, I guess.
No, Rick, I think Jamie Agers is going to address this for you.
Would you please flip through a few of these more pictures?
Good morning, Chairman Withrow, board members. Jamie Agers from Department of Environmental Resources, which includes the Code Enforcement Unit. Mr. Ferroni's complaint was received by our office on December the 12th. And the first inspection that we made was on December 18th. We made contact with the property owner on December 23rd. She's an elderly woman. And we gave a compliance due date first of February the 3rd. Our first follow-up inspection was made the following day on February 4th. And we could see at that time that very little progress had been made. In fact, the progress that had been made had largely been done by the sheriff's office and their cleanup crew. They had removed several tires that were out in front and debris from some trailers, pull-behind type trailers. So we issued an official notice and told the owner that, you know, you simply have to get a dumpster out there and you have to start making progress. And the revised due date was the middle of last week. And at our inspection, we saw that a large dumpster from Bertolotti had been placed and checked again at the end of last week, and the dumpster had been about 60% loaded, so they're making a lot of progress. They're also sorting the materials that are there, scrap metal and so on, and hauling those off separately, some scrap wood items. And I asked my staff to check again yesterday. And the dumpster is nearly full at this point. It's going to take probably at least another dumpster to clean it up. But a lot of progress has been made. We also have given them 9 tire vouchers Fortunately, we have one of our waste tire grant programs starting this week, so that should handle all of the tires that they have there. That would allow them to bring up to 54 tires. And so while I'm certain that it seems like it's taking too long for Mr. Ferroni, because we're getting cooperation from the property owner, it's actually moving really quickly in our world.
This is always a nightmare when these things happen, and it's such a long process because, you know, the property owner does have rights still, and so we try it. This method is much better if we can get the property owner to do it versus us have to come in and place a lien on the property. We go through a long process before we eventually can get to where we go on and spend taxpayer dollars to actually clean the place up, and then we place a lien to somehow be able to recover the money at some point. So
that vehicle is still sitting there. It can be tagged 72 hours and towed. 3 months later, it still sits there. Would you please go back to the first slide? This motorhome sitting there with the skirt around it, drawing raw sewage on the road, was not moved until I talked to Mr. Winthrow's assistant. Why is code enforcement only going for the lot? You know, you guys fund animal services where they have 3 full-time employees that go door to door without even a complaint. Why is code enforcement going out and looking at the lot? Why aren't they looking at this? Why didn't they look at that motorhome? That motorhome can be tagged and moved in 72 hours. Why do each individual thing has to be identified and addressed individually? Are these people going in with blinders? I ask you, since I have to pay the property tax on a foreclosed property because they don't, to get in a county car, I'll buy the gas out of my property tax and drive down to the end of Elm Street and see if you would live there. Honestly, go see if you would live there. I guarantee you that if it was next to any of your residences, this area would have been cleaned up a long time ago. My question is, why is the lot the only that still exists? I get texts from people saying they're not going to live next to a dump. I lost a sale Saturday because of that stuff sitting out in front of a house on the street. What do I need to do? You have codes and ordinances. You have the ability. This is not my first foreclosure. I have been on the backside of code enforcement and fines. You have that ability. So if you're just zeroing in on the lot, these people need to look around that neighborhood. I can drive down the street within 2 houses and show you somebody living in a dilapidated RV next to a dilapidated house. That is a code violation. Do I need to write that down? You go door to door looking for $12 dog license. $12 dog license. But you can't clean up a neighborhood that decreases the value of the property by thousands of dollars? I'll buy dog licenses all day at 12 bucks if you'll clean this neighborhood up.
Do you know, Rick, where all this garbage came from? Was this
right there? That place right there across the street.
Had nothing to do with your tenant or the person that you had in your spot?
No history other than these people are the ones that are dealing with these people cleaning up.
Yeah, I guess I was under the impression that a lot of the garbage came from your tenant.
No.
And it was
not
put onto the other person's property at the time.
According to Teresa, who lives at this place with the motorhome, the agreement was with the lot, with her dad, and that is where all of the junk came from. And she's trying to deal with it because they have an agreement and they doesn't want this elderly lady to have to pay for their mess. But they're not cleaning up this stuff. They're not moving the dilapidated cars. VLF, vehicle license fees. There's several vehicles out there sitting there. They can be towed. Private property, yes, they can be towed. They tow them out of Walmart's parking lot. What do I need to do to get somebody into this neighborhood to look around other than 4436, I think, is the lot that she is talking about, to get something done down there?
We appreciate you being here. We're working on it. We're going to get something done. Jamie, anything else you want to?
I can address the vehicle versus a code enforcement complaint issue if you'd like. Our abandoned vehicle, which we called our AVA program, is done on both a complaint basis and on a surveillance basis. So certainly we will go out there and address the vehicles. In contrast to that, our code enforcement program really is done on a complaint basis only. So if a complaint is about, you know, trash on a vacant lot, then that is what we're going to go out and look at. That is how the program works.
Okay.
Can I address that, please? I know I'm past my 5 minutes.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Vacant lot is covered in garbage. Several trailers parked on street are overflowing with garbage, as well as all properties. All properties. Not 4436, all properties. People are sitting on their hands. You need to get something done.
We'll get it taken care of. Thanks, Rick, for coming down. Okay, next up is Carmen Sabatino.
Good morning.
Carmen, how are
you? Once again, I'm coming to make you aware of some things that you may know about, some things that you may not know about, but the county is being sued by Attorney Frank Carson for an incident that occurred in the courthouse where PA investigator Steve Jacobson, and I've talked to you about Mr. Jacobson and Mr. Bunch before, but apparently that you have no power over that except perhaps by the budget, according to DeMartini. The lawsuit is Frank C. Carson, plaintiff, County of Stanislaus, and Steve Jacobson. And Mr. Jacobson attacked Mr. Carson at the courthouse, and a camera was slapped out of his hand. County Council has, or you have hired, Porter Scott, a Sacramento-based law firm, and the lawyer there is John R. Whitefleet. I was not a witness to this, but you did subpoena me, and so I did go to the deposition, and the deposition occurred on February 13th. Mr. Whitefleet was at the table with none other than Mr. Jacobson. Now, for 14 years, I have, if not under direct investigation by law enforcement, I've had to go to court, I've had to clear myself. The harassment continues up until now. I did appear at the deposition. Mr. Jacobson was also seated at the table. Mr. Whitefleet began to ask me questions that I'm sure would have been interesting in the case of an investigation. I wasn't read my rights. In any event, I took care of that. By, as you know, I do publish the backstory, and I'll tell you the story we wrote. Former Mayor Carmen Sabatino was ordered to be deposed by attorneys for Stanislaus County, John R. Whitefleet and Taylor W. Roan, from the law firm of Porter Scott in Sacramento. The deposition was taken on 2/17/15 in the matter of Plaintiff Frank Carson versus County of Stanislaus et al., District Attorney Investigator Steve Jacobson. Jacobson is accused of attacking Frank Carson in Stanislaus County Courthouse. Mayor Sabatino was not a witness to the attack, but did publish pictures of the attack. Defendant Jacobson was at the deposition along with Frank Carson's attorney. Mayor Sabatino asked Whitefleet if Mr. Jacobson was armed, and your lawyer refused to answer. Sabatino stated at a Board of Supervisors meeting that Steve Jacobson, an investigator, Kirk Bunch, should not have a badge or a gun. He claimed the what I did was, I am a journalist. I've been paid to be on radio. And what I told your lawyer, and I claim the newsman's immunity from contempt. So I told your lawyer, Mr. Doreen, that newsman's immunity from contempt, saying he had an immunity against being held in contempt. So far he's threatened to hold me in contempt. I won't bother to read the rest of that. You know, years ago, a local newspaper made the Mediterranean Marketing Grill on 8th Street off limits to be employees. I'm glad to say today that even though I've changed the name, the Mediterranean Marketing Grill still exists with 29 employees. I understand the B is down to 15. I want to show you a check that Mr. Whitefleet gave me. Why you would hire a guy like this? And he asked me to hold it. It's a $35 witness check. I know what he means. I know you're not broke. But the poor man, I wasted his time. So he doesn't want me to cash it. But of course I will. Thank you very much. I guess I'm going to caution you that this has to stop. I'm not going to be harassed by Christensen. I'm not going to be harassed by this county. And sooner or later, it's not inevitable that people here in this county will be held accountable. And you have the power to do it. One more minute, if I might. When I was being accused, Mr. DeMartini insisted that I be prosecuted vigorously, criminally, vigorously, or he would cut the district attorney's budget. I don't see you exercising any pressure or discussion with law enforcement. I encourage you, I'm going to, hopefully you're all on my email, so I won't have to come here every once in a while. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Carmen. Okay. Any other comments for which I don't have any cards? That's all the cards I have. Anybody else? Okay, very good. One point I wanted to make, Supervisor O'Brien is not here today. He is out on county business, so he's excused. He has an excused absence here. So, okay, we're going to move on to consent calendar here. Does anybody have anything on consent that they would like to pull? Nope. Okay. That being said, do we have a motion to approve the consent calendar?
Motion to approve the consent calendar.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, very good. Moving on here. Item B9. Ms. Eggers.
Wow.
Everyone. Darn.
Nobody wants the camera.
It's a lot of staff time right there.
There we go.
Okay.
Good morning again, Chairman Withrow, board members, CEO Risen, and County Council Doering, Jamie Yeagers, Director of Environmental Resources. And this morning we're here to talk about the emergency repairs that are necessary at the Fink Road landfill. Just by way of background, the landfill is one of the divisions within Environmental Resources, and they maintain and operate the Fink Road landfill. The facility provides the traditional waste disposal services for Stanislaus County. We refer to that as Class 3 waste, as well as the ash from the waste to energy facility, which is considered a Class 2 portion of the landfill. Much of the site maintenance is performed by in-house staff, but we have specialized services where we often need outside help for maintenance, repairs, surveying, construction projects and oversight, certain types of non-routine service calls, as well as emergency services and repairs. And for those specialized services, the department has historically hired outside expertise. Sometime between the close of business on Saturday, February the 7th, and I wanted to point out that in the staff report, I noticed the date was wrong. It said February 8th, but Saturday was the 7th. So sometime between February 7th at 4:30 p.m. when we closed and reopened on the morning of Monday, February the 9th, a 740-foot section of the perimeter litter barrier fencing along the I-5 corridor blew down, snapping the wooden poles off at their base because of a fierce wind and rainstorm. This is what this section of fencing looked like before the damage. And I'll show you some after pictures in just a moment. This section of fencing was original, so it was most likely constructed in 1973 when the landfill opened. Originally, it was constructed to be 10 feet tall, and not long after opening, the staff quickly realized that this was insufficient to contain the blowing litter, so extensions and additional netting were added to bring the final height of the fencing to 25 feet. After the damage, this is what we found. And I have a couple photos here for you. You can see there's a long section here that's completely blown down. And here's another photo. The result is that it leaves the site unsecured and subject to a notice of violation from the state. In addition, because this area borders the I-5 highway, it could potentially blow litter and pose a safety concern. This is a site map showing you that it's the uppermost northwestern portion of the fence. And the next photo shows the same area, so it's in the upper quarter, and you can see the proximity to the interstate. After learning of the damage, the department contacted Judge Netting of Costa Mesa, California on February 10th for a quote to replace the fence with like and kind materials. Judge Netting had replaced another section of the fencing at the landfill several years ago, and this is not in the same area at all. This is in the southern border of the site. They provided us a quote on that following Friday for $157,800. General Services Agency Purchasing informed staff that it appeared to meet the emergency criteria as outlined in the public contract code. And that is why we were here today. Unfortunately, it was kind of a Murphy's Law situation, because when this occurred, the board was not scheduled to meet on the following 2 weeks, February 17th or the 24th. So staff conferred with the chief executive officer, who approved moving forward to expedite the emergency mitigation of this safety concern. The quote covers replacing the 740 linear feet of fencing with 25 feet above ground treated wood poles on 20-foot centers and UV treated polyester netting. The installation provides a 5-year warranty on materials and workmanship from the time of completion. Since the new poles would have to be ordered and time was of the essence, staff's recommendation was to go with used wooden poles that are in like new condition so the work could commence immediately. Judge Netting is offering the same warranty on the poles, whether they were new or used. Department staff will oversee the work to ensure the perimeter fencing is restored to its original condition. And the current status is that the construction permit was issued yesterday. The insurance documents have been provided. The bonds are in place and approved. Work is expected to commence on either Thursday or Friday of this week, and it's anticipated to take 10 to 4 working days. And the department does have sufficient funding in the current operating budget to cover this expense. So the staff recommendation is to approve declaring an emergency in accordance with Public Contract Code Section 22050 at the Fink Road Landfill and authorize the county purchasing agent to negotiate and execute an agreement with Judge Netting to replace the damaged fencing. If you approve this emergency status today, I will be back to present you the next update on March the 17th as required, which is every 14 days. And I would anticipate that by the following update at the end of March, the project would be complete. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Okay, great. Any questions of Jamie? Okay, very good. Any questions, public questions? Very good. I'll bring it back to the board. Any comments? a motion?
Make a motion to approve staff recommendation.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Very good. Thanks, Jamie.
Thank you.
Okay, very good. On to correspondence.
This board has received a copy of a petition of writ for mandate contesting adoption of the California Department of Food and Agriculture of its final programmatic environmental impact report for the statewide plant pest prevention and management program.
Refer to County Council and the Agricultural Commissioner and Sealer of Rights and Measures.
This board has received a letter from the Stanislaus County Office of Education regarding an offer to sell property at 1317 Granville Avenue in Ceres, California.
Refer to the Chief Executive Office.
This board has received a letter from the California Water Boards regarding the City of Modesto's waste water change petition seeking to reduce the discharge of treated water, wastewater to the San Joaquin River.
Refer to the Department of Environmental Resources.
This board has received two letters from the Governor's Office of Emergency Services regarding the U.S. Department of Agriculture granting of a secretarial disaster designation and the U.S. Small Business Administration's disaster declaration to Stanislaus County and other counties due to the severity of the drought.
Refer to the Agricultural Commissioner and Sealer of Weights and Measures, Department of Environmental Resources, and the Stanislaus Economic Development and Workforce Alliance.
This board has received a letter from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development regarding fiscal year 2015 Community Development Block Grant and Emergency Solutions Grant allocations for Stanislaus County.
Refer to the Department of Planning and Community Development.
This board has received a letter from the California Fish and Game Commission regarding the 15-day continuation notice relative to amending the deer tagging and reporting requirements.
Refer to the Fish and Wildlife Committee.
This board has received four letters from Centrex Revenue Solutions giving notice per the Worker Adjustment and Retraining Notification Act of their intent to reduce staffing at the American Medical Response Modesto office and the permanent layoff of employees at the 4701 Stoddard Road location.
Refer to the Stanislaus Economic Development and Workforce Alliance and the Alliance WorkNet.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. That's a lot of correspondence. 2 weeks off. Okay, any Board of Supervisor reports?
I have a comment and then I have a question. First, my comment is that Supervisor O'Brien, you had mentioned is on county business, and I always want to point out that he has never, ever missed a board meeting for anything other than county business, and that's quite an example for us. Second of all, the MR closure, where are those jobs going? Did they say, because does anyone know?
Yeah, I guess I had heard that they actually were going overseas is what I had heard that okay. Originally, that there was some.
I was, you know, and that I
don't know. I don't know, really.
I've heard the same thing. They're going overseas.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was it? Okay. Very good. Legislative, fiscal, and management report.
And no report today.
No reports. Okay, before we go to adjournment, closed session.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have a closed session this morning. First is conference with legal counsel to discuss significant exposure to litigation involving one case concerning a vehicle accident in the parking lot at the Community Services Agency. This is held pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision D2. Additionally, we'll have conference with legal counsel to discuss anticipated litigation involving one case pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision D4. We do not expect to report out on these items, and it'd be appropriate to ask if there are any public comments regarding them.
Very good. Any public comments regarding closed session? Okay. Very. I just nice to be back with you guys. We're off 2 weeks and missed everybody. So this meeting is adjourned.